Well, I really appreciate Mrs. Jen Dix preaching for us last week. She did an exceptional job, didn't she? I listened to it online, and I thought it was bold and courageous of her, and I'll have to ask her again to do that. So, we had a great time up at Leavenworth. Took my wife away for 2 nights for our 25th anniversary. Come on, work. And it was beautiful. Anybody up there? Been up there? Leavenworth? Like, awesome lights. Amazing. On every tree and just all in one area. It was just awesome. And went on a horse carriage ride. And although we're kind of tall people, so we couldn't really see with the cover kind of hanging over. We had to duck down. But no, it was really fun. So it's Christmas season, and you know, there's this word that you hear all the time. It's that word peace, and it seems that the Christmas season it's supposed to bring more peace, but it seems to bring less peace in some people's lives. Chaos, lots of busyness, and so it's rare to find someone, and I don't think just during the Christmas season, but it's rare to find someone who is a person of complete peaceful tranquility. Everything's going well, no chaos, no conflict in their life. They're just at peace, right? It's hard to find someone with that quality and with that. It's rare, and so we're going to talk about peace, and I want to give you three categories of types of peace, and then kind of give you three steps on how to get Christmas peace in your life, not just during Christmas season, but during the year. And so peace, there's some different definitions here, but peace is, one of the definitions is freedom from disturbance, the word tranquility. There's also this harmony in personal relationships, right? We hope that there will be peace amongst our relationships. And then there's the third one I have here, and that is a state or period in which there is no war or the war has ended. So there's peace. Right now, there's no real peace in Congress, right? There's a lot of strife, a lot of conflict. It kind of gives you a picture of our world right now. And perhaps you have had a tough year. Maybe you've had a season of life where it's just been tough. It's been difficult. There's been conflict after conflict. Maybe there's been trial after trial. And maybe there's just no peace in your life right now. Maybe it's just been complete mayhem. And I want to tell you that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he has a solution for your conflict, for your mayhem, for your struggles. And if you think about it, maybe you are waiting. Maybe you're waiting for vacation. You can have that moment of peace. Maybe you're waiting for that break from your job. Maybe you're waiting for Christmas Day to have that moment of peace. And the reason why we celebrate Christmas is not for all the other things. We talked about Christmas celebrations. There are some things that we just do, and it's fun. But really, the celebration of Christmas is about the Prince of Peace, the person who is that peace. And so it's not, you know, that song we sing that Jesus was this baby and there was no crying he made, right? That is so unrealistic, right? And we're not going to go down that song right now, but that's just not normal that a baby would not cry, right? So obviously there's crying in this life. And so Christmas is about a person. It's about the Prince of Peace. And he brings peace. He brings chaos into order. He changes chaos into order. He changes confusion into clarity. He brings restoration to broken communities and ruined lives. And so his name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of peace. When I think of a prince, I think of one who calls the shots, the one who's in charge. And if you were in on that kingdom, if you knew the prince, if he was your bud, you would probably get a little bit of what he had. And that was, in this situation, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And he, I think, would share that peace with us if we were in on his kingdom, if we were his bud, right? And so Luke 2:14, the angels are singing, they are proclaiming to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. And so the prince gives to those on whom his favor rests. He favors his children, those who believe and who have come into his kingdom. And so the prince gives to whom his favor rests. If you know the prince, you have a good relationship with him, most likely he will give you that peace. And so I want to show you that he does that. In Scripture, he tells us that we can have that peace that he gives. John 14:27, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he is about ready to go to paradise to prepare a place for not just the disciples, but for everyone who comes to believe. And so he says this. He says, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And do not be afraid. So he gives us peace, not like the world gives us. The world's peace is kind of fragile. It's kind of fake in some ways and phony. It's not like the peace that God gives us that goes internally and deep. And so what does peace look like, and how do we get it? Well, the three categories of peace that, now there's probably about five. There's the first one probably would be peace from war. And then there's another one, you have peace when you're like peace and quiet. But let's just talk about three out of those five. And three would be spiritual peace, emotional peace, and relational peace. Another way to say that would be eternally, which is peace with God, right? Internally, which is peace with ourselves. And then there's the external, which is peace with other people. Peace with God, peace with self, and peace with other people. So the first one is peace with God. This is a spiritual peace. When our relationship with someone is out of whack, it seems to rob us of peace and joy. When I have a conflict with my wife or with my kids or with someone who I work with, it is difficult to concentrate on other things. It is difficult to focus. It stirs in me unrest and chaos and confusion. Can you relate to this? That life is just not peaceful when there is conflict between you and somebody else. And so when our relationship is out of sync with God, everything else is out of whack. And so the Bible says that Jesus came to restore the peace between God and man. The word in Hebrew is shalom. Shalom. It means to be safe in mind, body, and estate, or in your soul. So the true biblical shalom refers to an inward sense of completeness or wholeness. And in 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says in the contemporary English version, it says, God has done it all. He sent Christ to make peace between himself and us, and he has given us the work of making peace between himself and others. That is a promise that God has come to give us peace. Or Jesus has come to give us peace between him, between God and us. And we can have a relationship with God because of Jesus. And we can have also peace with others because of Jesus. And so anytime I decide to be Lord of my life, to do what I want to do, I disconnect from God. Anytime I decide that I'm going to be the ruler of my life, I disconnect from God. I know that God says to do this, but then I go and do that anyway. That disconnects me from him. And so when I pretend to be God, or I think I know better than him, if I know what the Bible says, but then I don't do it, it just disconnects me. I lose my connection with him. If I think that I'm the master of myself, or I pretend to be God, or I fight God or ignore him, this is an act of rebellion or an act of revolt. And so that, in essence, brings conflict between me and God. That brings conflict between us and God. And so there is no peace, and we get disconnected. We were actually disconnected in the very beginning, right? When we sinned and fall short of the glory of God, then God, Jesus, came down to this earth to create shalom, to bring shalom, and to connect us with him, to reconnect us with him. Now, you may have felt this before, but do you ever feel like God is a million miles away? Like, is he really, really near? Is he really in my life? Maybe because you have disconnected yourself from him. But he doesn't want you to be disconnected. And he actually wants you to be connected with him. And so the Bible says in Romans 5:1, we saw it on the video, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus has done it for us. He has already done it. We have peace with God because of what Jesus has done, not because of what we have done. We can't do anything to bring peace between us and God. Peace with God comes from what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And so you can try and be a nice person to get peace with God, but that doesn't work. You can't get peace with God because of what you have done, but because of what Jesus has done. And so that's what Christmas is all about. Romans 5:10 says, for if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through this life? Reconciled is that another way of saying that we have peace with God because of what Jesus did on the cross. That we are reconciled, that we are made whole, that we are made complete. Our relationship is restored. Now, there are a lot of religions that do this thing they call peace offering, and they do rituals, and they do prayers, and they do activities to try and bring peace between their relationship and the higher being, or whatever they want to call that person. And it is not something that you and I can do. We don't have to make a peace offering, because Jesus is the peace offering. The death on the cross that he died for us was the peace offering. And so Hebrews 7:27 says, in so many words, it says that the peace, or the offering, is taken care of once and for all. It says, unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins, then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. It's done, it's offered, it's taken care of. We have completeness, wholeness, peace with God. And so we don't have to offer that peace offering. God's already taken care of that. We just have to accept the offering of peace. So the first thing, the first peace is peace with God. The second is peace with myself, is emotional peace. Do you ever feel like you're not at peace? You're internally turning and there's things going on. There's a storm inside of you because there's something that hasn't been taken care of. Well, that peace comes from God. If you are at peace with God, then God will give you his peace. So that has to start. Peace with God, and then you can have peace with yourself internally. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." And so internally you have peace because Christ rules in you, in your heart. He has been reconciled with him because of what he's done, and you have peace. And so, again, shalom is that wholeness, that completeness, coming together in peace. You may have a broken heart. God has a promise, a solution for that, and that is his comforting peace. You may have a confused heart, and his promise is guiding peace. He will give you a peace that guides you, that he's with you, that he will take care of and answer the problems in your life. If you have an ashamed heart, he gives you this promise that he forgives you. And what does that give you? That gives you forgiving peace. If you have a worried heart, he gives you confident peace, trusting him, believing that he's going to take care of it. And so he offers that to us. When we are at peace with him, he gives us his peace. Peace with God. You may have struggles, financial problem. There is peace for that. God gives promises peace. You might have a physical problem, and there is a peace that comes beyond understanding. That you may have an emotional peace or problem. God gives a peace that he promises. You may have a bitter problem. He gives you forgiveness and helps you forgive. So peace with God, peace with self, and the third one is peace with others, relational peace. There are struggles in this world. We know it. We see it on social media. We see it in Congress. We see it in broken marriages and relationships. There is conflict and confusion and chaos. And so when you have peace with God, and when you have peace because God is in you and you have peace internally, it kind of overflows. It doesn't kind of, it does. It overflows into your other relationships. And so when we walk away from God, the further we get away from God, the more out of whack our relationships get with one another. But as you get closer to God, you can get closer to your spouse or closer to the person that goes to church with you. Because if you're growing in Christ, if you're going closer to God and they're going closer to God, what happens? You get closer to each other. Your relationship grows together. And so that's why it's important just in general to pray for each other. To pray together as a spouse, as a friend, to pray together brings you closer to one another. And so the more out of whack you are with God, the more out of whack you're going to be with other people. The further I am away from God, the crankier I am with you. Right? Crankier we are with one another. The world is not getting more peaceful. It's getting more difficult. And so the only way we will have peace is when we are unified in God. When we are together. Ephesians 2:13-15 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups, Jews and Gentiles, one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." So any of your relationships today, you have hostility in those relationships. Don't tell me you don't. There are hostile relationships that you come across. What's the solution to that? Jesus is the solution. He brings, he gives that peace. And so I want to give you three steps on getting that peace, because they're the peace with God, the peace with yourself, and the peace with others that I think is important to you to know, because you want shalom in your life. I can guarantee it. You would desire that. Maybe you just desire peace and quiet once in a while, but internal shalom in your life is only available because of Jesus. And so first you have peace with God, then you will have peace with yourself, and then you'll have peace with others. And when you have peace with others, when you have peace with God, and when that's going well, things that people do don't tick you off as much as they used to. They don't irritate you as much. And think about a cup of coffee. I don't have my cup up here, but if a cup of coffee, if I filled it to the brim with coffee, and anything that bumps me or touches me, it spills over. So anything that shakes me, it would spill over. So I need to empty that coffee, maybe drink it, empty that coffee of myself, of my selfish ways, and fill it with peace. Fill it with God's peace. And so that it won't, that nothing shakes me, nothing upsets me. I'm not insecure or afraid or want to have this selfish fight with you because it doesn't bother me anymore because I have peace. So the first step, on the back of your bulletin, I have three steps. First step to experiencing the gift of Christmas peace in your life is this. Experience a moment of clarity. Now, I'm not telling you that you'll be clear and you have clarity all through your life, but there are definitely moments in your life that you have had clarity because Jesus, because His Holy Spirit has come into your life and has given you clarity. You have had clarity because Jesus is Lord. You've had clarity that He has saved you. You have had clarity about certain things coming into your life. And so when you have a life-changing, worldview-altering experience in your life, that transforms you forever because you begin to see clearly and you begin to see everything differently. Everything looks clearer. God becomes clearer to you. You see Him as He really is. You become clearer to yourself because you're able to see who you really are, your identity in Christ. And then you also get to see everybody else in a clearer light. And so life becomes clearer. Your problems become clearer. And we get to see why I have that problem. My past is clear. My present is clear. The scales are falling off my eyes. And when you look at the Christmas story, you see a few people that have clarity. Mary had clarity because the angel came and told her that she was going to have birth to the Son of God. And there was clarity. There was an epiphany, a revelation. Oh, I get it. And then there's Joseph, who had a moment of clarity because he was confused. He didn't understand. And then there's this dream. And then he got it. And then there's the wise men. They see the star. They see God in nature. And they follow the star. And they get to the end of the star. And they see the baby in the manger. And they realize, oh, there's clarity. I get it. And then there's the shepherds. They hear the angels singing, they proclaiming the good news. They go and see the baby, and they have, again, another clear moment of, I get it. And it can happen in nature. It can happen in church. It can happen in a relationship. It can happen when you're reading God's word, that there this clarity comes, and it changes your whole perspective. Ephesians 1:8. Paul prays for us, for believers, and he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope that to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people. You cannot see clearly without God. You cannot see clearly without His Spirit clearly showing you what is wrong and what is right and how to do this thing called life. And the thing is, you didn't make yourself. God created you. He made you. And so only our Creator can give us clarity. See, the opposite of clarity is denial. It's like, no, I don't have a problem. What problem? Everything's fine. I'm great. But that's living in denial, because not everything is great, and we're not all living in peace. Because I can guarantee some of us are worried in this room. I can guarantee that some of us are stressed out. Some of us, I'm anxious and stressed out just being up here sometimes and preaching. But when I say, Lord, I need you, I put my trust in you, He gives me moments of clarity. And when we have moments of clarity, we stop blaming others about our problems. Because really, the biggest problem in this world is myself. It's not you. Not you. It's not someone over there. It's what's going on inside. It's me. And so not everything that happens to me is, it's my response. It's not whatever everything that happens to me. It's my response of what happens and how I respond to it. And so I realize that I have been in conflict with God and myself and others. And so no wonder I'm not at peace. I wonder if you experience that too. Luke 11:35 says, "See to it then that the light within you is not darkness." So what does that mean? That we have darkness in us? Well, yeah. Do we have light in us? Yeah, we have Jesus in us. And so sometimes, and maybe you've experienced this, sometimes we lie to ourselves. Sometimes we tell ourselves that things are really great and they really aren't. And sometimes we tell ourselves that they're really bad when they're not so bad after all. And we lie to ourselves, we deceive ourselves. And some of us have really lived without peace in our lives for so long that we don't even realize what life is like with peace. That maybe some of us have realized or not realized that everybody lives like this anyway. It's just the normal thing to do is to live in chaos and confusion and non-peace. So when we have lived without the peace of God in our lives, we don't know what we're missing. We weren't made for this type of life. We were made for a better life. Isaiah 48:18 says, "If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea." You see, when we realize, when we have a epiphany or a revelation that we need clarity, we need God's clarity in life, then we can have peace. Peace will flow. And so the starting point is to have a moment of clarity, because Jesus gives us that clarity. His Spirit gives us that clarity. We begin to see things the way they really are. And number two, the second thing, is to express an attitude of humility. Humility is a pathway to peace. Have you ever experienced that? When you are humble, it gives you a pathway to peace. But when you're proud, what is that a pathway to? Pride is a pathway to conflict. Whenever you see conflict, it's because someone else has an ego or arrogance. Right? James 4:6 says, "But he gives us more grace. That is why scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. Now, God is not moved by my whining. He'll allow me to whine. He'll allow me to complain. He'll allow me to gripe. But he's not really moved by that. What is God really moved by? God is moved by your and my humility. When we come to him and say, help. I need you. I can't do it without you. And so the path begins when we humbly admit that God is God and we are not. When we humbly come to him. And so Isaiah 26:12 says, Lord, you have established peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. That's humility. That's why we, every Sunday or every other Sunday, I have us pray and thank the Lord for what he has done and who he is. Because what does that do for us? That puts us on a plane that we realize that he is God and we are not. And we desperately need him to bring peace into our lives to help us make it through. And so admitting that and asking for help is a good step towards peace. You know, you probably wouldn't be alive today without him, right? And think about that for a minute. You're breathing right now, right? I hope you are. So you're breathing. He breathes breath into you. You have blood flowing through your body, and through your veins. He has done that. He has given you life. And so your year, the last 2019, it may have given you a year of struggles. It may have given you gloom, and it's okay to mourn and to have difficulty. But in those difficulties, there is hope for peace. Peace that makes no sense in all the midst of pain and struggle. God gives you and can give you peace in that. 34:18. We have that? The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And so God knows that you're going to have difficulties, but he's going to give you peace in those moments, in those times of your life. So the first one is the moment of clarity, understanding, realizing that this can change your life, this Prince of Peace. And number two is the express an attitude of humility, that I'm not God, he is, he knows better, and he has all the resources for me. And so are you worried all the time? Are you fatigued all the time? Are you anxious all the time? Philippians 4:6-7, you know it well, hopefully, says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, it's like, I don't understand this. Peace of God transcends. It goes beyond it, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is probably one of the hardest commands in Scripture. If you compared it to murder, it's harder. If you compared it to stealing, it's harder. If you compared it to adultery, it's harder. If you compare it to cheating, it's harder. And I can tell you this, I haven't done any of those, but I'm kidding. But worry, I have done. And it says, don't worry about anything. What does it say to do instead of? Pray about everything. So you have two alternatives. You can worry or you can worship. You can panic or you can pray. You can trust yourself or you can trust God. So one way will lead you to panic and pressure and lack of peace. And the other will lead you to peace with God and with yourself and with others. So tell God what you need. If you do this, you will experience God's peace far greater than your mind can comprehend. It's not based on circumstances. It's based on Jesus. And the third thing I want to tell you is to expect Jesus to help you. I've kind of talked about this throughout the whole time, but Jesus told us to come to him, to connect with him, to follow him. And if you do this, you will find rest. You will find peace inside. You will be a person of peace while everybody else is running around panicking. What does Matthew 11:28-29 say? It says, come to me. Jesus says, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He says, I will give you peace and I will give you rest for your soul. We need rest from anxiety and tension and shame and fear. The government, the businesses, the doctors, the TV, the internet, they're not going to give you that peace that God can give you, that rest that God can give you. And so God knows how you work. He knows how you tick. He knows how you're wired. And so he says, come to me and I will give you rest. He is the source of peace. He is the person of peace. So when you're empty, typically society will say, do more. Go and do this or go and do that. But Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary, and I will give you rest. So the other thing that he says in there is, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You remember what the yoke is? The yoke is you got two animals, farm animals, and they've got this wooden thing that goes across. That's called a yoke. It connects the two animals together, and they actually then pull the load together. And so the yoke is lighter because two animals are pulling it rather than one. And so Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And so if you've been trying to do it on your own, if you've been trying to run your life on your own, if you've been trying to figure things out on your own, that right there is the reason why you don't have peace. It's because you haven't come to Jesus. You haven't said, I need you. I humbly come before you and I ask for your help. This is a metaphor for life, this yoke. And so you may get stressed out this Christmas season. You may get stressed out as the year comes to an end. And that's normal. But what do you do when that happens? Do you go to God? Do you come to him? Do you ask him for his rest and for his burden, his lightened burden? I want to wrap this up. There's a couple of things that happen. Two biggest causes of stress in your life. The first one would be arrogance. And the second one would be aggression or impatience. So arrogance and impatience. We are either always rushing around in a hurry and we want it now. And so because we want it now, we get aggressive about it. Or we have this ego and it shows up when we try to control everything and make things work our way. And so remembering that God is God and we are not is something that will help you and me to trust him. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." Do you trust in him? Have you experienced a clarity with his peace? Have you expressed humility? Have you connected with him to get that rest and that tranquility and that peace? Maybe you're tired of the stress and the anxiety and the insecurity in your life. He is your solution to that. And so in 2020, hopefully you're serious about God's peace in your life, because remember that when you are struggling, that he is going to be that peace. I want to read this prayer to you, and then we'll sing a song together. This is a prayer for a peace of mind. It says, "Loving God, please grant me peace of mind and calm my troubled heart. My soul is like a turbulent sea. I can't seem to find my balance, so I stumble and worry constantly. Give me the strength and the clarity of mind to find my purpose and walk the path you've laid out for me. I trust your love, Lord, and know that you will heal this stress. Just as the sun rises each day against the dark of night, please bring clarity with the light of God. Amen."